Jackson County Health Officer Rashmi Travis joining us this morning.
Good morning.
We had hoped to get her on yesterday, but this has been a busy week, hasn't it?
It sure has. Yes, it has, Greg.
COVID-19 cases have, I don't know if we, certainly they've increased. Can you say they are exploding at this point?
Well, I think we are continuing to see a steady increase. We certainly are seeing more and more each day. Just to give an example, our daily case rates in October are almost double than those that we recorded in September, and they're four times greater than those in August. So things are definitely increasing, and we're having about 20 to 30 cases increasing per day.
So what do you think's going on?
I think a lot of it has to continue to do with the community spread. Individuals continue to go about doing, you know, activities and things like that. Some of it has to do with large gatherings that we learn about, parties, social events, you know, things like that. People are continuing to gather in large groups. The weather has stayed pretty well, so I think that's part of what is encouraging folks to do that. Some of it is due to certain locations or certain events going on. As we know, some schools have been in session over the last month, so it's certainly contributed also to the number of cases. The other thing that we're also seeing is hospitalization rates are increasing since the start of October compared to previous months. For example, Henry Ford Allegiance Health, as of yesterday, is reporting about 20 hospitalizations due to COVID-19. So given all of those factors, I think its community spread has a big part to do with all of it, as well as the social gathering.
Are we still doing what we should be doing with masks and social distancing?
I think it really depends. We're seeing some parts of the community that are really doing the right thing and following the masking and the social distancing. But unfortunately, you know, all it takes is pockets of different events or different groups or, you know, even like, say, for example, one employer or something like that, that can really change the numbers. So it really does depend. I mean, it's a good reminder. That's why things like these are like media events are good for us to be able to remind folks that, you know, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. We haven't yet quite gotten to the second wave yet. And so we're still needing to stay the course, wear the mask, continue practicing social distancing, washing our hands, avoiding large gatherings, you know, trying to stay within folks within our household. It's also a good reminder that seasonal flu is circulating the same time that COVID is. So that's concerning in that, you know, folks get sick, potentially if they have to be hospitalized or something like that. You know, here we are then dealing with two viruses happening at the same time.
Yeah, when are we in the flu season now? Or usually that's a little late into the winter, isn't it?
It is. Well, we're actually into a part, you know, into it now, and then it goes into a good part of the spring. You know, things that we encourage folks to do is to get a flu vaccine, you know, for adults and for children. And so see your doctor's office, a lot of pharmacies are carrying it, grocery stores, things like that. So it's very accessible and, you know, an easy thing to do to at least we have a vaccine for that. And, you know, people are able to prevent themselves from getting that.
Now, with the Supreme Court decision, I think there's not a lot of clarity on what the laws are. But what about gatherings? Should that be limited to the amount of people, or what are you recommending?
Sure. So we're following, as public health, you know, even as the governor's orders were challenged by the Supreme Court and ruled down, we have the public health code under our belt, and we have the ability to work with the state health department to issue orders that also continue to keep people safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of those have to do with those outdoor gatherings that you just mentioned and limiting the number, the capacity, if you will, indoors. indoors. A big piece of it is sporting events, you know, having fans indoors and how big is that space and, you know, a certain percentage that we should be looking at based on square footage of the space allowed, or space that is available, excuse me. And then also the masking is certainly important, as we've already talked about, you know, things like that. So we have the ability to educate others and to, you know, allow the state health department to issue those orders to help us. So that's those public health prevention measures can continue to happen.
Are you concerned about schools? We're hearing a lot about schools, not necessarily right here locally, but around the state. We just had a story. Kalamazoo now they're going completely virtual through March. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see maybe a little more of that.
Sure, yeah. And I think even locally, we've been seeing some of that. We've been making recommendations to schools. We're working very closely with their administration and their facilities because, you know, they understand their students and their parents and that kind of thing better. So, we'll make recommendations to them such that, you know, like you said, go virtual for the next 2 weeks until we're able to clear out the positives, you know, make sure people are coming back to school healthy. The other option is sometimes it might take a day or two of deep cleaning within the facility. You know, sometimes it's not the facility itself, but it might be sporting events, as I mentioned earlier, outside school events, extracurricular activities taking place, things like that. So, mm-hmm. But a school environment, you know, recognizing there's so many points at which a student might be coming in contact with others, you know, whether it's riding a bus or being in a cafeteria or, you know, playing football with their teammates, things like that. So, you know, there's so many different points of potential exposure that we need to be looking at. And depending on the size of the school, you know, we may make a recommendation to close down a wing or several grades or something like that. Sometimes it does end up being the whole school. So it just really depends on what type of facility it is and the size of the school.
Yeah, kind of interesting, the situation that developed at Jackson High School or Jackson Public with the students doing very well, but one bus driver gets it and you have to quarantine, right. You know, 20 and 30 people.
Right. And, you know, the thing about that, though, I mean, the advantage we have there is that we're able to pinpoint a source, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the advantages we have. So then we could say, hey, what students rode in bus number, you know, so-and-so, and then we're able to put that out there. So the school can hopefully help us identify that. What routes were they on? You know, how many students did they pick up or drop off? Things like that. So, you know, while it seems, you know, somewhat alarming, it is at least we have the ability to pinpoint and identify who are those students and notify them as appropriate.
Yeah,
and their parents.
I guess maybe a little tougher at, I see you were working with Denny's Restaurant out on Airport Road that they had a case out there, and it's got to be hard to trace people that have gone through there in a week.
Right. So this is where we have the advantage to be able to use the media, like you just mentioned. And what we try to do is see an operation like that, particularly being 24/7, is that we are able to, again, pinpoint a source potentially with several positives being identified from there. But then we're also able to alert the public and say, hey, if you recall going to Denny's these particular days, you know, we ask that you contact us. We ask that you be watchful for symptoms. We ask that you get testing, you know. So, again, we have the, you know, wonderful advantage of being able to use the media to get that messaging out. So thank you for doing that.
How is the testing going?
It's going fairly well. It's picking up again at Henry Ford Allegiance Health. I would say they're doing about 250 tests to 300 per day through their drive-through center. Center for Family Health continues to be fairly steady in terms of the testing they're doing as well. Mm-hmm. Some communities are not as fortunate as we are to have two places that do testing. So it's great that we have that and that individuals hopefully are able to access the testing easily.
Okay, another issue coming up is this Halloween. I know you issued... quite a press release on Halloween and what people should be doing.
Sure, yeah. So I think our staff has been very creative in coming up with some ideas. You know, here we are with yet another holiday that we're going through with COVID around. So our staff has been creative in helping families understand how trick-or-treating, can it be done safely? What can some neighborhoods do? You know, what can businesses do? Things like that. Understanding that, you know, going up to a door and, you know, saying trick-or-treat is not probably the best way to be doing, you know, trick-or-treating this year. If families can put candy outside their door, you know, 6 feet outside their door, leave it out for children, you know, you limit that interaction. Stay within your own household. I mean, I know that most, you know, folks want to go with neighbors or friends and things like that, but stay within your household. You know, wear a mask. You know, even if your costume has one, it might have a hole in it. So wear a mask, you know. There's other activities we talked about in there about haunted houses. You know, they can potentially pose a risk if they're having large groups going in at one time. You know, cider mills, you know, those harvest fall activities that folks like to do. There's ways to do that as well. If you see large crowds or lots of cars or things like that, you know, you might want to avoid that, you know, certain time of day. So there are things that people can do, but do them safely.
We had County Commission Chair Shotwell on earlier, and looks like what you're going to get some additional nurses to work with. That's good news.
It is good news. We appreciate the County Commission allowing us to be able to do that. And we're able to do that because, in part because of some state money that local health departments received. And so this is tremendously going to help us with contact tracing. Contact tracing is a critical function of what our nurses do. This is where if someone is a positive, we might be able to identify upwards of 50 to 60 people who may have been a contact of them, meaning they had interactions with them for 15 minutes at a time. You know, perhaps they were done face-to-face, maybe without a mask, maybe less than 6 feet apart. So nurses contact folks, get a hold of them, give them instructions for quarantining, testing, self-monitoring, you know, all of those type of instructions. And so it's a critical function of what we do, and we're proud that our nurses are able to continue that.
Yeah, is this fair to say as they continue to fight in Lansing, maybe we'll get more clarity out of the health department as far as orders are concerned or rules and regulations?
I think we will continue to see that. I think out of the State Health Department and Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, you know, I'm sure those will be those are being challenged, and there's a lot of questions being asked, you know, of those as well. So we work with them to develop, you know, frequently asked questions, and then we educate folks when we get calls, like from the public, on them. So it just continues to be an education and the importance of it and why we try to implement those public health safety measures.
I know a lot of people are worried about, you know, another lockdown. What do you see? Obviously, you can't predict that.
Sure. It is difficult to predict. I think we'll continue to keep a watchful eye on the numbers at this point. You know, schools are one thing because we're able to potentially, like we mentioned, if we're able to contain it and understand what the facility is dealing with, you know, we're able to do that. But when things start to rise amongst the community, you know, that's quite a different thing. And how do you try to contain that or reduce the exposure and the risk? You know, it might come down to limiting movement again. You know, I don't know, but a lot of it, this is where we have the public health ability to either, like a dial, if you will, sometimes people talk about it that way, up the way we're doing certain things or start to decrease the way we're doing certain things. And we're going to be, a lot of that's dependent on what the numbers look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure we've learned a lot from the first couple months, like with hospitalizations. I'm sure the hospital is even more prepared than ever.
Yeah, I think at Henry Ford, we're fortunate to have Henry Ford Allegiance Health that, you know, while also being a leader in healthcare, understands where now to get, you know, it stock, if you will, stockpiles of personal protective equipment for their own staff and for, you know, their different facilities, things like that. You know, they've done a tremendous job with testing, but I think they've also learned a lot about how to move patients to, you know, around in order to make space for other patients who potentially come in being hospitalized, how to separate those patients if we need to, if they need to. So, you know, the healthcare system, I think, has learned a lot, as much as the public health system has, through this new virus.
Well, I hope you're not so busy next week, Rajmi.
I think we'll still continue to be working and we'll be doing our jobs. So.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the visit. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate Take care. Time. Take care. Rajmi Travis.